Hello everyone and welcome to Toonami Therapy on March 4th of 2021. I'm Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We're here to try to liven up your life a little by going on a whole ton of tangents while we ostensibly try to talk about the anime we've been watching.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I guess we'll jump in to it. So, we start out with Attack on Titan, episode 67. So, Reiner finally decides to actually get up and do something, so he fights Eren. Eren decides, well, I'm out of here. So he runs off with Kasa, and they all go into that blimp thing that's leaving. Meanwhile, though, let's see. Right. So Gabby and Falco, man, Gabby, in one of the most amazing bits of aiming ever, manages to shoot down a guy who's holding on to a rope from the blimp with one shot. And it doesn't just like, and it's not just that it hits him, it kills him and causes him to drop down. And they're like, well, okay, well, I guess we'll just go into the blimp. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
So they do. Gabby decides to turn a large chunk of the audience against her by shooting and killing Sasha. then she and Falco get subdued, and it turns out that Zeke was actually in on Eren's side and was part of some, well, I don't think we know all the details yet, plan of his, and he's going off with him. And that's, I think, the episode.
Yeah, so I absolutely hated this episode. It first is incredibly ridiculous how they're able to catch a blimp and get them up into it. That was ridiculous. And I mean, even in a show where people become titans, that even that just didn't seem plausible. So then you have the whole thing where she gets up there and now she's like deranged, basically, because she's obsessed with Eren Jaeger. But she doesn't shoot Eren Jaeger. She shoots just some random person who she sees. And then in the ultimate Last Jedi ripoff, we have a character that everyone loves who gets killed off screen. And in the Last Jedi, of course, Admiral Akbar got killed off screen, which was ridiculous. And so Sasha kind of dies off screen without anyone. We don't get any last moment with her. We just have the one guy, I forget his name.
Connie.
Is it Connie? Connie?
Connie.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just says, oh, she's dead. And yeah, so many things wrong with this episode. And yeah, it was just, it's just a bad episode. So, I'm not really rooting for anyone. I'm kind of rooting for like how, you know, everyone always says they're rooting for the giant meteor for the, presidential election, when what they really mean is they just want a Democrat to win. So, that's the kind of the way I feel. I just want a big meteor to hit this world and kill off all these characters because I don't like any of them anymore.
You don't at least like Hanji still?
No, not really. I never really got into it. I loved her voice actress, but she's a great person at cons, back whenever we used to have cons. She would be one of the best people to hang out with at a con, but I never really was a big fan of Zoe Hanji, so yeah.
Well, I liked some parts of this episode. It's weird because everyone's like knowing, oh no, Sasha died, and I'm thinking, what has she actually done since season two? And in season two, I'd like to mention her big contribution, from what I remember, was just saving this girl from the Titan. You know, in the episode where she was originally going to die, but the editor thought it was too depressing, so the author had her survive. And then do nothing, because I guess he had no plans for her or didn't think, oh, maybe I should give her a bigger part if I'm going to have her stick around. And later on, I guess when he just needed someone to die, he was like, well, might as well get rid of the character that I had no plans for.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense. I'm just more confused about why so many people, it seems, were considered this like so shocking or depressing. And I'm thinking that she's barely done anything, really.
That's not really true. I mean, you have a character from, you know, you could say that about lots of anime where there's a character you meet in the first season and you really get to like them, and then they disappear for a long time, you know, and then all of a sudden they appear back on screen for the sole purpose of getting killed off. Like, that's Last Jedi levels of stupidity there. I mean, like Luke Skywalker, we brought him back just so we can kill him off, you know? We brought back Picard just so we can kill him and turn him into a cyborg, you know? Stupid stuff.
Well, in fairness to The Last Jedi, I mean, they did stuff with, or even Picard, I mean, they did stuff with them before, quote-unquote, killing them. But it's not, I'm talking more about, like, the reaction I've seen. It seems like Sasha is popular just because of one joke, essentially, from, what was it, the third episode? And other than that, she hasn't really done much. That's what I'm saying. Honestly, what was just so weird to me was that so they shoot the guy. Now, they shoot him. Why does he drop to the ground? Shouldn't he just be levitating in the air because he's attached to the rope? Shouldn't he, you know, not be moving but there? Why does he drop down?
Yeah.
And maybe... I'd have to rewatch it to be sure. Maybe it showed that his hand was on the thing, you know, that retracts or makes the amount of rope go down. And maybe you could say that if that was the case, it then had him hit the one that the one that makes it go farther away. And that could make sense if that was the case. But I don't know if that's what we saw. My question is how Gabby and Falco were able to suddenly to figure out the controls to reel themselves back up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I thought it was okay, but not great. Dragon Ball Super was actually pretty good. I didn't mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we just kind of watch it, but this was episode 102, I think was. It was actually a decent enough episode, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we've got Fire Force, then we've got, oh, right, we have, and then we're back to Food Wars, episode 38. It's back.
Yep, it's back, and, so now, you know, they're just kind of, talking at the beginning, and then they say something about this new festival that they have, I guess, you know, like every show has to have a school festival, and this is kind of what it is for. I can't pronounce it. Totsuki Academy.
Yeah, you pronounced it fine.
Okay. Yeah, so basically Soma, you know, he wants he doesn't think very much before jumping into whatever he's about to do. So he meets that one guy from the 10, the lead 10 or whatever they're called. And then he decides he's going to just enter this thing by himself. And and then he gets an idea of how what he's going to do is he's going to, because he ends up sitting next to Erina, which is, you know, that's totally a coincidence. He ended up sitting next to Erina. But because of that, that gives him the idea maybe he should have his spot next to the guy from the Elite 10 who, what's his name again?
Kuga,
yeah. Yeah, I was about to say the Yu-Gi-Oh guy's name. yeah, so he's right going to be next to Kuga, but he's kind of trying to do this on his own, and it's not really a good idea, but we know that Soma doesn't care if it's a bad idea. He's going to go into it full speed ahead. And yeah, and there was a lot of funny things in this episode, most of them dealing with Erina. But for some reason, I can't remember most of them right now. But it was a pretty funny episode, I thought. And there wasn't as much fan service in this episode as we're going to get, because man, we will get the fan service this season.
So this episode, does the anime call them the Elite 10?
I don't think they do. I just saw that name online. That's the one reason I said.
I'm just thinking, because I know the manga calls them the Council of Ten, but I'm trying to think, but I'm looking at an episode description. It says Elite Ten. So I'm just wondering, I'd have to look at the episode again. I didn't think of this until now, but I've always just been calling them the Council of Ten, but they might be Elite Ten in the anime. They might have just translated it differently. Kind of like how in Attack on Titan, in the group in the manga, they're the Scout Regiment, and in the anime, they're the Survey Corps, or maybe it's the opposite way around. I can't remember, but it's like that. So, yeah. Well, I mentioned it to you before, but it is weird how they handle this, because there were two chapters in the manga devoted to them meeting with the Council of Ten, which includes Soma's challenge to Kuga, and then he and Megumi go off. But in the anime, it does it weird. It shows them just leaving, and then we get flashbacks to the meeting, and all the important stuff does get covered, although it does mean you don't get to know the members of the Council of Ten, or whatever you want to call them, as mm-hmm. well, because of that. It also makes Soma's sudden rivalry with Kuga just suddenly feel like it came out of nowhere. I saw some people, and they were discussing, and they were saying, they were basically saying, wait, who is this guy that Soma suddenly has this rivalry with? It was set up a little better in the manga. Like I said, it was chapters 118 and 119. Yeah, it was just weird to skip over them like that, because there were some funny bits there in the manga. Like, there's this part where, if I remember correctly, Tsukasa is telling Soma, oh, I wish you hadn't done that Shokugeki with this guy, because there's a lot of annoying paperwork over it. Yeah. You know, kind of going with the gag of how he's this super crazy talented chef, but his personality is super meek and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to throw in that perhaps why they skipped over that was to make the pacing better, because the pacing this season is so much better than the first two seasons. So that's a possibility. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Possibly. I just wish they had, even if they did it faster, because there's actually a brief Shokugeki Soma had that was skipped over, but that didn't really matter at all. So I'm fine with that. It's just the way it's told, you're just left wondering, wait, did I miss something? That I like went back and checked to make sure that the stuff we were having flashbacks to wasn't in the previous season. Okay. But yeah, it was I'm talking all this about the opening. Other than that, yeah, it was a fine episode. It was kind of fun. I do wonder, considering all of Kuga's assistants look identical, does he, like, how does that work? Does he deliberately find people like that? Does he say, okay, you all have to be, you all have to be bald so you look identical?
Yeah.
Okay. So, we've gotten that. All right. Then because we actually watched it this week, move on to Fire Force, episode 38. Wow, the exact same number as Food Wars. So, in this one, what's his name? I can't remember his name, sorry. But the weird guy who was there, he says, I need to come clean. I'm a Hajime spy. And then, like, no one has any reactions. What, you're not shocked? And they say, oh, we already figured that out. that was pretty funny. Anyway, so they're going because he's saying that that because of all the experiment stuff they're doing, they're going really hard on the kids because, I don't know, I only kind of understand what's going on, even. The big thing is that Shinra and this weird guy end up doing some sort of mock battle, but the guy he's going up against is actually evil and crazy and decides to make it a real one, which is where the episode ends. And this was a lot better than the episodes that we were watching when we stopped watching.
Yeah, I agree. It was a lot better. It's just a little bizarre, you know. didn't I tell you it was like, it seemed like it was child abuse the way they were treating those kids? I mean, like, they could have thought of something better than that. But seriously speaking, though, yeah, it was a pretty good episode, so.
Yeah, the series, it seems to, based on the stuff I've watched from it, because, okay, I'll admit I didn't really see the last few episodes because I wasn't that interested. So it's good that we came back and, oh, wow, this is actually interesting again. It's just kind of, the show fluctuates a lot, I've noticed, in terms of what I'm interested in. And then it's like there's a few episodes, you're like, hey, this is cool and interesting. And then we get the next few ones, which I'm like, wow, I don't really care about this.
Yeah.
Okay. So we had that. Then we've got Black Clover, episode 139. So Vanessa goes back to be, decides, hey, I can't let everyone else get all the training arcs. So she goes back to the Witch's Forest, which was the focus of an arc you didn't see. And she's trying to get better help from the Queen of Witches, who I can't remember if she was actually Vanessa's mother or not, but she's saying, okay, I need to get stronger. And then the Witch Queen person says, okay, well, you just train these, you do this stuff with these two people, and it turns out the people she has to work with are basically useless. But they all come to realize how to utilize their powers together to defeat an enemy. And Vanessa says, oh, well, I didn't need to come here after all. This was for training. The power was inside me or whatever. fur. And then she writes a letter to Princess Celestia about the friendship lesson she's learned this episode. Seriously, this felt like an episode of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. At least from the first season, back when they really were heavy on always having a lesson each episode.
How many seasons did that last?
I think it went on for 7 or 8. Mm-hmm. I'll check. Oh, 9. It had 9 seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I kind of liked it, but I'll admit it was a very, very hit or miss show. A lot of episodes weren't very good, but you would still have some good ones, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I got tired whenever watching this episode last week, which is why I don't remember it as well. But which is, you know, that's Cartoon Network's fault for putting this stuff on at such a crazy time. But it wasn't bad. So I'm just hoping to get it to be more, they had something good going with that other kingdom that they were trying to get into. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they go back to that, because that seemed pretty interesting.
Well, you'll have to wait for the filler stuff to be over.
I know.
I don't know I don't know how many episodes there are until that, unfortunately. I think, let me just take a quick, it looks like there might be about 14, I could be wrong. But there might be less, I don't know, I'm just glancing over this thing quick. But yeah, this episode I think might have been better if it had, because 2 episodes ago we had a half episode for Charmy and a half episode for Gordon. And I'm thinking, well, maybe if this had been a half episode, it would have felt better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, yeah, unfortunately the important plot is largely on pause right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay. So, after that, well, we're done with the Toonami stuff.
Yep.
Then we move on to Yashihime episode 21. Okay, so we find out about what made the rainbow pearls. It was this, I can't remember if we've seen her before, but she did it to, this demon person did it to get rid of the demon-ness, I suppose. So now, 21 episodes in, Setsuna decides, or wait, hang on, or was it revealed in a flashback? It was, okay, now I'm getting it, wait, I always get it mixed up, I'm sorry, I'm dumb. Which one is Toa and which one is Setsuna? I always get their names mixed up.
Toa's the white-haired girl. Setsuna, okay. The black-haired girl.
Okay, so, yeah, so what I was saying was right. So, 21 episodes into the series, now Setsuna decides to ask Kaede information about her mother.
No, that was Toa.
I'm sorry, I meant to say Toa. I asked you for confirmation, and I still said it wrong. So, let's see. So Toa is, her name was Toa. Yes, her name was Toa. Okay, I said it right this time.
Yeah.
Is regular human now because it's the new moon, but she ends up going out anyway to try it because she thinks she sees a dream butterfly, and she runs across Riku again, and then, I don't know, a generic villain guy who dies this episode anyway attacks them.
Yeah.
And Riku actually helps her out, so I guess he's supposed to be a good guy now?
Mm-hmm.
It's fair. I mean, the fact where she's saying, well, I think you're nice, I like you, and the whole way, and actually gives him the pearl after the whole fight thing. I'm looking at them, okay, I get, because before this, I thought he was just going to be sort of a villain, but I guess he's going to be a good guy, kind of, maybe. Anyway, they managed to, so villain guy gets defeated. I know he was around before, but I can't remember what. Like I said, he dies this episode anyway.
Yeah.
And yeah. For once, it seems that they actually have the head, so maybe Moraha can actually get money this time.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was basically the episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I didn't think it was that bad this week. I thought it was a little better than usual. I like that whole conflict with the whole Rainbow Pearl and all that, but I did not understand why, and other people didn't understand this either. It's like, okay, Toad just gives it away. And it's like, but it's like, you're not getting Moroha's or Setsuna's, but you can have mine. It's like, that made no sense. And it kind of makes me think they're like the seven Dragon Balls, I guess. Like, that idea isn't brand new, you know. I mean, that idea of gathering seven things together to make something really big, that's been around for quite some time.
Yeah, that's true. It's not just Dragon Ball. The Paper Mario stuff always had seven things. And I'm left wondering, was Dragon Ball what set that thing in motion and had that influence? Or was even Dragon Ball just taking that from some other thing?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, but
I'm thinking, because Dragon Ball, the manga, started out as a very loose adaptation of Journey to the West. And I'm one, and that, of course, is a super influential thing in Japan and China. And I was just wondering, was there a parting there about collecting seven of something? Or that's what I'm trying to look it up. It may have been a spoiler. Okay. Well, the Dragon Ball Wiki says the Dragon Balls may have been inspired by the Buddhist scriptures that Xuanzang set out to retrieve in Journey to the West, but I don't know if there were specifically seven things there. So, but yeah, that might be it. Yeah, I will say this episode, well, look, any episode that actually progresses the plot in any way is already better than usual.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find anything about the seven, but I don't know. I should look into this more later on, but in the meantime, yeah, it is always the seven, so we've got this here. Yeah. Okay, so there's actually a mention of Earl Grey in this episode. I wanted to say that.
Yeah. Tea, Earl Grey, hot.
Okay. So, we've got Ghost in the Shell, episode 48. So they've discovered that there is actually some kind of nuclear device, except it might not be a real nuclear device. It might just be a still a problem, but not full-on nuclear. And they're trying to deal with that stuff. Then, for most of the episode, we have Bato and Gota talk a lot.
Yeah. Does it seem to you that this was one of those episodes where they were pretty much venting over World War II? That's what it felt like to me.
There was a little of that now that I think about it.
Yeah. I actually like this episode. I just feel like the first season so much happened that it was only 26 episodes, wasn't it? The first season?
They were both 20. The first and second season were 26 episodes each.
Yeah, that first season felt like so much happened. And it feels like this second season, it's had about half of what occurred in the first season. And I just feel like the characters are kind of being wasted because I know there's so much potential they had after the first season, and now it's kind of just like this whole refugee crisis thing, which they're trying to make some sort of political point. Unfortunately, I don't live in Japan, so I don't know what political point they're making or which party they're supporting or whatever. So anyway, I did like the episode, but I do agree that it could have been better.
I think the problem, it's just the conversation with Gota and Bato just goes on so long.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily were trying to make some political point necessarily, at least to something relevant at the time, but maybe there was, I don't know. Although, when it comes to political parties, Japan, from what I understand, is one of those countries where there's basically one party that's almost always in power.
Kind of like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the Liberal Democratic Party, which is, despite its name, apparently right-wing, so I don't know how... it reminds me of how in Australia the Conservative Party is called the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
I think originally they were the Liberal Party, but then politics and the party changed, so it ended up being the Conservative one. But yeah, the Liberal Democratic Party has been... Yeah, I'm just checking from it.
It's even true in our country. The Democrats were originally called the Democrat Republicans. So they were called Republicans back in the 1800s. And then they slowly changed to being called the Democrats. And then the Republican Party came with Lincoln and all that. So, yeah.
Well, what I was saying from Japan is from 1958 to the present day, there's been two times that party wasn't in control of the government. They were in opposition there were some brief points where they were in the minority. But other than that, they were basically always in the majority. Some countries are like that, I guess. They're just happy with the party that's in power. It's not as much as as Singapore. That's another one where it's just... And the thing is, I don't think this is just a matter of, you know, some countries where there's a bunch of corruption or intimidation that keeps a party in power. It's just a matter of where everyone's like, well, I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. Tends to happen more in countries that are more homogeneous. That's how you say it. Yeah. So, okay. So, that information about Japanese politics aside, we now get to ReZero episode 47. So, we have Garfield and is going up against Elsa while Subaru is trying to get Beatrice to help them and seems to be working so far, but then he annoys her and she pushes him out.
Mm-hmm.
Went a little far with telling her that she was being stupid with how she was behaving, Subaru.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, so they end up meeting Maylee then, and Frederica ends up fighting her while the others go off to try to do something, but then come across another one of those giant monsters. And then they decide to cut away from all the interesting action to go back to Amelia going through the trials, which in this one is what they call an unthinkable present, which, unlike Subaru, who saw all sorts of terrible presents that showed what happened if time kept going in those timelines where he died, Amelia just finds one where everything's perfectly hunky-dory, and then we spend 5 minutes seeing just how hunky-dory things were in that past, in that alternate present where Beetlejuice didn't go insane and Mama Fortuna or whatever her name was didn't die and stuff. And then Amelia's like, well, okay, let's move on to the next one. Except then she goes outside again and meets a bunch of people and they talk a bunch and then she just goes back in. So we basically spend half of the episode on that trial, which didn't really do much, and then she goes out and then she goes back in, and that's half the episode.
Yeah, I don't understand the trial thing. Like, what has she got to do? She's got to relive her past, and if she relives it, then she passes. Like, that just seems like the biggest excuse for flashbacks I've ever heard of.
I think it was you had to come to terms somehow with your past or something. That makes sense there. And I guess for the present, it's weird because I don't know how that works. For Amelia, it's just she has to, I guess, sort of accept, okay, this isn't the real present, and that gets past it. But then you're like, well, how would Subaru get past it when his was just seeing all these terrible alternate presents? So I don't know. That was what really turned me off the episode, because it's just we get all this time spending, oh yeah, this is an alternate timeline where everything is great. Well, but what are we getting from this?
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of that episode. Did you ever watch Justice League Unlimited?
No, the only Justice League I watched was that one we watched a few months ago.
Okay, well, yeah, Justice League Unlimited. It was a cartoon series a while ago, part of what they call the DC Animated Universe. It was a sequel to the Justice League. Anyway, there's an episode called For the Man Who Has Everything, which was actually an adaptation of a comic story. And it's about how this one villain traps Superman with this thing that makes him, you know, experience his heart's desire or whatever. It's making him live this alternate, like, life in which Krypton was never destroyed and stuff. And he did that to basically incapacitate Superman while Batman and Wonder Woman have to fight the villain off. Mongol was his name, and try to get Superman out of the thing. And it was a pretty good episode from what I remember. I'll admit I haven't seen it in years. I did go back and watch a few things from it, though. And I'm just thinking, to refresh my memory, and I was just thinking, but like that's the sort of same thing there in seeing this like perfect, like timeline and then having to reject it. But it worked so much better there because there's other stuff going on, you know, in the real world. And it wasn't related to just a bunch of stuff we had just seen and could have already inferred. And I don't know, it was obviously much more of a actual struggle for Superman to get out of it. There's actually this really cool part where after he gets out and he's just so angry about the whole thing when he's beating up Mongol. And Mongol just says, I wrote this down, "I fashioned a prison that you couldn't leave without sacrificing your heart's desire. It must have been like tearing off your own arm." Well, the way he said it was better, but I don't know. But there's no sense of that here. Amelia just goes through it and just like, well, on to the next task. And Echidna's like, well, I hate you. And that's...
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the problem. It's the flashback stuff made sense. We got information about the characters. I just don't feel like I got anything out of this. There wasn't any sense of a struggle, and you already knew how it would go. It would end up. So yeah, it's. I realized something. So throughout a lot of the previous season, I kept wanting to watch the next episode of ReZero because I was like, oh man, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? And now I still want to keep seeing the next episode of ReZero, but it's more because, will something happen?
Yeah, that's a good point. I definitely feel like that. I've had shows like that where I've been like... whenever I haven't understood a show well, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it another episode and maybe it'll make sense then. Okay, maybe the next episode and the next one, so on. And yeah. Did you ever hear about that time not that time I got reincarnated as slime, but that time I tried to stay up for like 24 hours to watch like the entire Naruto series because they were re-airing it on Cartoon Network, like complete marathon. And I tried staying up like the whole time. And this is way back in like 2007 or so.
I think I remember that.
Yeah, and I tried staying up for it, and I kept, and it was just like, okay, one more episode. And then eventually I fell asleep. So, yeah.
I remember one time I stayed up for at least 24 hours, but that was because... Actually, maybe it wasn't a full 24 hours, but it was pretty long. That's because this online game I played, having this competition thing where, you know, you could, the MUDs, multiple user dimension. They're basically MMORPGs, except they were fully text. Some of them are, the one I played called Akea is still on around actually. I haven't played it for a good while, but there was like this competition where it was going around killing monsters and you could get experience and it was who could get the most experience. And there was like literal rankings and stuff. And if you got in the top 10 or whatever, and it was a 3-day long thing, then you would get you could get some prizes. And well, a bunch of people were able to do it just because, you know, they were really good at getting the experience. I just stayed. No, the one I'm talking about wasn't, I don't think, was 3. I think it was actually a 24 hours. I just stayed up for the whole thing and managed to place, I think, 7th or 6th overall. Ugh. Yeah, so... Yeah, that was back in the days when I could actually do that. Okay, so... So, yeah, so that's ReZero. It's... You know, I feel like this season might play better if you go through it more quickly rather than waiting week to week. If season 3 comes out, I assume it will, I might want to make sure not to watch it as it comes out. Just wait until the whole thing's out and then just watch through it more quickly.
Yeah, that's an idea, actually. I don't know how that would work with our podcast, but we'd have to figure it out.
Yeah. The light novels, the English translation is actually now, I think possibly, I don't think it's necessarily for the first time, but I think it might have bypassed where the anime was slightly earlier. But now it's the one that was released, I think, a day or two ago, actually it covers the rest of this season. So I guess if you want to get the conclusion of it early, a few weeks early, you can pick up the light novel and read it.
Mm-hmm.
The downside is if you finish the season, you're like, whoa, what's going to happen next? Well, the next one isn't out until June. They release these, I think, are about, you know, like maybe three per year, which is kind of a little surprising to me because ReZero is such a popular series. I'm surprised they haven't been trying really hard to catch up to where the Japanese one is, because they're a good deal behind that.
Uh-huh.
I remember when, because the One Piece manga, I think they did it with Naruto and Bleach also, was for a time, it was so far behind the Japanese release that they just sped up, super accelerated. There was this time, for several months, they were releasing 5 volumes of One Piece each month.
Wow. So over one a week.
Yeah. So that they did that, and then they caught up. And well, I mean, the English ones still are behind the Japanese ones. They always are, but you know, it's closer to where it is now rather than before, when it was years behind, and they were just realizing, okay, we need to get caught up so that people will actually, you know, look at the official translations rather than just deciding, I don't want to wait 4 years. I'm just gonna go online and find some scanlation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of annoying ReZero is behind, because I was looking, like, that time I got reincarnated as a slime, the light novels in English, their translation is almost up to where the Japanese one is. I think they're only one or two behind.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, that time I got reincarnated as a slime, episode 32.
Yeah, so... Wow, boy, that escalated quickly. Mm-hmm. I mean, we suddenly Sion is dead. So are a whole bunch of other people from the kingdom. They're all dead. And Rimuru can't save them. He has to come to grips with that. So then he hears from this one girl that there's this way, if he becomes a demon something, demon king.
I think it's demon lord.
Yeah, that's it. And if he does that, then there's a 3% chance, translation 100%. Okay. 3% chance that he'd be able to bring people back from the dead. So he's going to now try to become a demon lord. That way he can have that very, very, very slight percent chance of bringing back Sion and all the other people too. So I like this development, for the reason that, like, there's actually some very big conflict right now. But I don't like that it was Sion that died, because she was my favorite character. So I have kind of mixed feelings on this.
Well, she's obviously going to come back, so.
Yeah.
So here is something interesting in this episode. So. When I can't remember the person who was being forced by the bad guy to help them. So Rimuru has brought to him. It says, well, I've decided you need to die. And the other people are like, what are you know? And he like immobilizes them and then puts his hand through her chest and then brings it out. And he didn't actually kill her. He just replaced the heart with a different one. So she only died briefly and then came back. What did he say? I did say you needed to die, but I never intended to kill you. So I guess people do not die when they are killed. Anyway, such a weird way to say it. Maybe it made more sense in the Japanese. Maybe that was the case. But so I paused it and wrote down in my notes. I was saying, why didn't you explain that before doing it? This is just a chance for cheap drama. Then I pressed play again, and Reamer said, oh, and by the way, here's a reason why I waited to explain that until after. And I'm like, oh, wow. Credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I didn't understand that myself either, but
explanation is that the heart she had was basically a listening device for the bad guy. So if Rimuru tells her, I'm going to kill you, then reaches in and destroys that, so he can't listen to Dean. The bad guy will think that Rimuru killed her, and so he couldn't explain that until after he took that heart out and destroyed it. That's why
I see. He did that. Oh, that makes total sense now. Yeah. It does make total sense. It's just bizarre, that's for sure.
Yes, I know. That was just, I need to stress this. I actually paused it, wrote that down, pressed play, and then it's like 20 seconds Rimuru explained it. Let's see. Also, it's really obvious that the the story we got about that person who became the demon lord and stuff, that was super obviously Mileem. Or maybe it isn't. Because it's so obvious, maybe it's actually a false clue somehow. But...
Who?
Mileem. You know, that pink-haired girl. The one that, like, you know, was super strong, but then Rimuru gave her sugar so she liked him.
Yeah, that one.
So, got that. Yeah, so, I mean, stuff is definitely happening. Although the solution is, well, you're not overpowered enough. You need to become more overpowered.
Yeah. But maybe it's like, you know, money. You know, the more money you get, you know, you're richer. But then if other people get more money than the money you're getting, then you're actually getting poorer. So so basically, Rimuru, he's already overpowered, but he's not overpowered enough to take on these other overpowered people.
Yeah. It did mention, though, that you needed, like, 10,000. You said something like you had to kill 10,000 or have 10,000 people die or something like that to be able to become a demon lord or whatever. And Rimuru finds out there's 20,000 people. He's like, oh, that's good. It makes me wonder, is he actually going to do it like that, or is he... I don't think he's going to do mass killings of it. My guess is that he's either going to get 10,000 killed, and then because he now has the power to bring stuff back, will then bring them back. Or maybe he'll just say, well, I'll take half the life of all these guys. like that episode of X-Men where to resurrect this one character, the person saying, well, one of you could give up your life, or we could just take a smaller amount of life force from all of you. Okay. Yeah, other than that, not too much to really say about the episode, I don't think.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's the stuff we watched. I guess we can give our top threes then. So, I like Dragon Ball Super, but we didn't really discuss it necessarily, so I don't know if it would be in my top three anyway, but I will actually put for them for third play. Why do I always forget to put the decide on these ahead of time? Okay. Third place would be, actually, I'll give it to Fire Force. Then number two would be that time I got reincarnated as a slime. And then for first, I'll give Food Wars.
Wow. We're actually very close this time. My third place one is Ghost in the Cell. And then my top two are the same. Second place is Slime, and first place is Food Wars. So, yeah, pretty similar this week.
Yeah, we're getting so... Yeah, we're getting so close to the end of ReZero. I just hope it can... Let's see, I think we've got three episodes left. So, I'm hoping that it can... I can't even say we're done with the task stuff because there's still one left.
Yeah.
But once that's over, I mean... I'm sure at least the rest of it could at least be interesting and exciting. And then maybe for season three, we can actually get back to the plots.
Yeah.
That were going on. I do know the Royal Selection thing comes back and is a focus of it. I don't know because the plot of it is about how there's like the different camps for the Royal Selection. And then they have to work together because there's some sort of attack or something. So I know that it does something with that.
Okay. Well, yeah, that ought to be more interesting than what we're getting right now. So
yeah, whenever it comes out, who knows how long that'll be. I wonder if they'll get to it by before they end up actually covering all that stuff in the translated light novels.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll take, I looked at it, it'll take two or, to get through the next arc at their current rate, it'll take, I think, 2 or 3 years. For the light novels. Like I said, the thing about ReZero is that the Japanese light novels come out really frequently. Light novels, most of them are, come out less frequently, but ReZero, the person is just bringing them out really fast. So yeah, like I said, I'm a little surprised they haven't tried to do it faster. Is it, I mean, do they want to make sure the same person is translating all of them for some kind of consistency? I know a light novel would obviously take longer to translate than a manga because there's just a lot more words, but I don't know. It just seems a little surprising to me that they, maybe there's some reason for it, but it seems to me like they should really be trying to get that stuff out faster, especially when you consider the fact that the season is going to be over. And this is a point where people will be saying, oh, I want to know what happens next. Let's pick up the, I got to wait till June to have any continuation.
Yeah. I pre-ordered the Food Wars Season 4 Blu-ray so I can get to watching that. I did finish Season 3, which has a pretty funny thing in the last few episodes, which we'll get to. It's just something that's so ridiculous that it's so funny. And so I'd like to get through season four, and then I'll probably be forced to watch season five subtitled, which I don't know. I've never seen Food Wars subtitled, so I don't know if it's better or worse, you know? Like, I kind of like the dub, so I'm not really sure what the sub's like, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, the dub, I'm fine with most of the voices. Erina's voice, sometimes it's fine, and sometimes it really rubs me the wrong way. So it kind of is like switching between that. Like in this very episode or first scene, I was like, ooh, man, I don't really like that. And then the rest of their scenes was fine. So yeah, that was kind of a little weird there.
I do have to say, she does change over this season, although you probably already know how she changes plot wise, but her voice seems to change too, so that's something to take a look at.
Yeah, although yeah, let's see, I think I was going to say something, but now I'm blanking on it. Yeah, we've got, so there's that, and I feel like there's something I was going to say, but now I forgot what it was.
Has it something to do with us running out of Ghost in the Cell episodes?
No, it has something to do with what we were watching, but I can't remember exactly what it was. Oh well, now what was it? Well, I guess there's all of that. One thing that I didn't mention that I was, like I mentioned the thing about light novels and the way, the problem I had is, of course, exactly when people are going to want to get them is when the anime season ends. People want to know what happened, because that's something, that's a very big thing in Japan. There's like usually a very big boost in sales for something right after it has a popular anime. Like Attack on Titan, for that, the year the anime came out, there's this giant boost in sales because, of course, someone watches the anime and they're like, oh, I was interested in this, I want to catch up on this. So then they just buy all the volumes afterwards to catch up. And that, of course, is a sudden and very big boost in sales. So I'd assume something like that is similar for the English. So, yeah, the manga industry has gotten a bit better on the whole of actually having the stuff out now. Like, you know, Jujutsu Kaisen, they made sure they had all the stuff was translated by the time the anime came out. So when that thing is over, that'll be that, you know, you can go right to it. But they weren't able to do with Demon Slayer, so that probably hurt them a little. Yeah. Speaking of which, what do you think they'll be bringing in? Because there's maybe five episodes left of SSSS Gridman.
Dr. Stone, maybe.
Yeah, there's the possibilities of them bringing in another, like an older series for more. There's a Dr. Stone. There's also the Promise Never Land, because its second season is airing, although I've heard mostly negative things about it.
Oh man, that's bad news, because I stopped watching the first episode of first season. Is that on like Funimation or something?
I don't know. I'm not even sure if it has a dub yet. I meant season one. Oh,
is season one on like dub somewhere? So in case they put it on, I can go back and rewatch it.
It's let me see. I'm not sure who has it. It says the license is adult. I'm looking at that. It might. I don't know. It says Aniplex has it. So who knows? They're always sort of weird in terms of distributing their stuff. But
yeah.
Well, I've just heard the second season isn't very good because I've heard that they skipped past a lot of stuff. And people are saying, so I remember the manga, The Reception. So people, like, it was a super big hit. People loved the first arc. And then people didn't like the next bits as much, but they were still pretty satisfied with it. And it was the final arc that a lot of people didn't care for. And for what I've heard, they just skipped past most of that stuff and just went straight to the final arc. And everyone's saying, why did you skip past the good stuff to get to the bad stuff? And I feel like there's some other series that was on Toonami and then they aired it and then some new season came out, but I can't remember what it was. Well, we'll find. Well, I mean, we're just speculating at this point, really.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we've gone.
I'm sorry.
No, keep going.
If I were to put money on it, I would bet it on Dr. Stone. So, that's my prediction. So, we'll find out. We'll find out. SSSS Gridman. I'm not sure where that came from. And I guess they were trying to cater to their Gundam fans, maybe. Because that just wasn't my thing, that's for sure.
Yeah, Dr. Stone, I would say yes, except I am not sure how far they are in dubbing. Because Funimation has kind of fallen behind on some things. They're apparently committed to getting Attack on Titan out very quickly. But, you know, that's, I'm sure, because they did a lot of stuff to make sure they could do it. Except then they had to put it on hiatus because, you know, because of the stuff that hit Texas and stuff. It's, yeah, only the, so there's 11 episodes aired of the second season and only the first two are available on their site. So I don't think we'll be seeing Dr. Stone if they're that far behind right now. We might see it later, but I think it'll be a little early to be doing it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll see. It might be the replacement for Attack on Titan when it's over. Cause we're what? How many episodes are we into this? I know the total episode count. I don't know the count for these ones. Wow, we have been going on for so much past where we normally do.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, I don't mind. I'm just noting that it's like we're doing such an extended epilogue.
Yeah.
There's 8 episodes left for it. So that'll be, so with the break, that'll be in about, so that would be about a month and a half. Yeah, Dr. Stone seems a plausible replacement for Attack on Titan. I don't think it'll be Gridman, though.
Yeah. I would like to put forward as my option for what will replace Ghost in the Cell.
Well, wait, hang on. Don't spoil it for the listeners. Tell me it later.
Okay, I'll tell you later.
Because it might not necessarily be finalized, and we don't want to, you know, spoil things for. Don't tell people something and then because then they'll get disappointed if you don't do it. Okay. So, yeah. But honestly, we might have it. Okay, here is my guess. This is my new guess. They'll bring back Assassination Classroom.
Okay. So, yeah, that will be, we'll see what happens.
All right. So, we've overstayed our welcome by just a wee bit. So, we'll just let you know, everyone, that we'll be here next week.
Bye-bye.